As I said by way of introduction at the beginning of the service, this morning, and also for that matter next Sunday, we very much focus on John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus' coming. I have to say that John the Baptist is one of my favourite biblical characters. I think we can learn a lot from him. And of course, another of my favourite classical musical works is, of course, Handel's Messiah. When you hear this morning's gospel reading, you want to start singing, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." But what do we know about John the Baptist, and what can we learn from him? Well, again, we know that he was born, if you read Luke's gospel, into a priestly family. But he had a very different ministry to what the priest normally did. It wasn't the ritual of the temple, which might have been seen as the relatively comfortable and easy life. No, he was out in the wilderness, as we're told, in the wild. Yet people went out to see him and to hear him. There was something about him that attracted people to go out into the wilderness to see and hear him. Maybe it was his outfit. He didn't wear the fashion of the day, but wore camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. Maybe it was his diet. Do you fancy living on locusts and wild honey? Wild honey, maybe, but yes. I suspect more so it was his poverty and simplicity of living, which had that reality and attractiveness to it. Because what he had to say was pretty uncomfortable. What was the first word of what Matthew tells us he had to say? Repent. Good churchy word, as I often say. But it means a lot more than just being sorry. It has the sense of being sorry for where I've done something wrong, turning around and going in a different way, going God's way. And of course, the message is appropriate in this Advent season, which is seen as being penitential. Hence our liturgy, that longer piece of introduction, hearing our summaries, Lord's summary of the law, etc., as part of our confession. But he was John the Baptist, or better translated, John the Baptizer. And of course, this was what was so unusual for Jews, although it may not seem strange to us. For in those times, the only people who were baptized were Gentiles who wanted to become what were known as proselytes, to become Jews. The males had to be circumcised, and both the males and the females had to be baptized by full immersion. I believe it was done separately for certain reasons. But they were the only people who were baptized. To wash away their Gentileness was the sort of thinking. But here was John, a Jew, preaching to Jews, telling them to be themselves baptized, that they were no better than Gentiles that they looked down on, and to confess their sins. A pretty uncomfortable message. But people came to hear it and responded to it. But then came, of course, the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why did they come? Maybe to see what had attracted people to John the Baptist, to hear his message. But when John sees them, he uses very strong language. "You bunch of poisonous snakes," basically, is what he said. "Who told you to come?" You know, it's like me saying to you, "You bunch of poisonous snakes, who told you to come to church this morning?" You know, I start doing that, and there'll be letters to the church council and to the bishop, that we don't have one at the moment. We have a suffragan, but not a diocesan Anglican bishop. Yes, very strong language he uses. And he challenges them and to bear what he calls bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, don't go through the ritual of being baptized without showing that you have repented, changed, and are going in a different direction. In other words, the outward sign is useless unless there is some inward change. And I would apply that to us. The same applies to us when we say the familiar words of the liturgy, the relatively familiar words, for instance, of the confession. What we do must match what we have said in our liturgy. The other emphasis, of course, that John the Baptist makes is that being upright with God is nothing to do with our upbringing or our heritage. He speaks to the Jews, particularly to the religious leaders, don't just say you have Abraham as your father, as your ancestor. This is what the Jews always hung on to, that they were descended from Abraham. They were God's chosen people. And I say it to the Brits here, who often think that God must be British, you know, don't just hang on to your own nationality, and the same to Americans who sometimes think they're God's own people, and to the other multiple nationalities looking around this congregation, those of you who are here this morning, that because you were born in your country, somehow that is special. What matters is that we produce a good fruit, as John puts it, that what we say we believe is acted out in our lives. I said at the beginning, I like John the Baptist. Was he right to be so outspoken as he was? It's a question I always ask myself. Do I say things and worry about offending people when I preach, when I write on my blog, right through the weekly message, or in any other way like that? And offend people rather than draw them to Christ. It's a very difficult balance, because I'm equally reminded of Jesus' own words from the Sermon on the Mount, which I think we'll get sometime early in the new year, as we're in the year of Matthew, to judge not that you don't be judged yourself. Because it's very easy to criticize somebody else's actions without recognizing one's own faults. Yet although John was so outspoken, he also was remarkably humble. What did he say? The one coming, the one whose way he was preparing, the coming of Jesus, wasn't worthy to carry his sandals, or as it's put in the other gospel readings, to undo the laces, to do the job of the lowest servant. And I think the other thing that always strikes me about John is once Jesus begins his public ministry, John steps aside, doesn't try to hold on to the limelight. Of course, he gets arrested, which we'll hear all about in next week's gospel reading. So what can we learn from John the Baptist this morning as we work our way through Advent? The question I would ask is our Christianity attractive? Not based on the clothes we wear or the diet that we eat, but the way that we live. Is our Christianity attractive, like what John taught and acted out? Next difficult question. Do our actions match our words? I'm saying our, because I want to include myself in that, because I'm well aware of my own failings. And back to something of what I was saying last Sunday about what work of darkness we need to cast away before putting on the armour of light. Of what do we need to repent, as John called the people to repentance? And thinking about John being outspoken, let us reflect upon when we need to speak and point out that which is wrong that needs to be challenged. And learn also when to be silent. So may we, this Advent, in humility, like John the Baptist, recognize the one who is coming, whose birth we will celebrate in two, three weeks' time. And may we be prepared and ready to receive him once again into our hearts and into our lives. May we learn something from the example and teaching of John the Baptist. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.